This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Uber is adding a safety feature after a tragic event. Amazon has introduced their free music offering. U.S. facial recognition to cover 97% of U.S. airports. And Facebook may have stolen your contact list. I want to welcome you to episode 1362 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 18th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by simply becoming an insider. We want to welcome all the new listeners and of course, all the longtime subscribers of the show and those of you that are part of the Ohana. Thank you so much. For those of you that are brand new, just take a few moments, get over to GeekNewsCentral.com, visit the website, check everything out. And when you're over there, subscribe to the show, be there Apple Podcasts on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or just use the standard RSS feed. You find those selections on the right-hand column of the GeekNewsCentral.com website. While you're on the website, we want you to subscribe to the newsletter. Of course, that's going to be a great way to stay abreast of everything that's going on with the show and get the show announcement immediately upon completion and publication of the episode. Of course, you can watch this show on your Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to make that device come alive and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. We are live at live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we're on YouTube as well. That's a great place to check us out. Get us out on YouTube. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Mixer. And of course, tonight, things were not quite working the well. I think some of our authentications ran out, so I hit the start button and things didn't start. But we're live tonight. Join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server. Jump on there. Become part of the Ohana. Say hello. Say hello to the fellow geekers. And of course, you can join our Slack channel as well by sending me an email and say, hey, here's my email address. Throw me into the Slack channel. Of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and of course, at geeknews on Twitter. So that's a great way to stay connected with me and follow me on Facebook as well. Partner shows include the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and the Podcast Legend Show, all linked at geeknewscentral.com. I've got a little bit of a audio number tonight. And I don't know if the cats have been in here, but my audio is booming. So I just cranked it back a little bit. Had to reach back there and turn it down. It's still high. So I don't know what's going on. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family here. And of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This is the longest running continuous podcast with a single sponsor, and that is our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want you to check GoDaddy out by visiting geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. On that site, you're going to find, or on that page, you're going to find all my offers, 30% off new product purchases, 99cent.com, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And of course, we've got that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So this is the way you do it, folks. You just go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. When you're over on the page, click on the link to lock in the savings or grab the promo code and cut and paste and use it at checkout. That way you're guaranteed to use my code when you're shopping at GoDaddy. That is really, really critical. Now, as a reminder, these promo codes keep this podcast online and my independent writing team employed and paid. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators. By using one of our promo codes, you support is in that effort. I want to thank you for your support. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Subscribe to the podcast and get all the latest tech news. And of course, utilize the GoDaddy promo codes to do your own online website and get you started. You know, GoDaddy has helped tens of thousands of my listeners save thousands of dollars. Just take advantage of this. So these are non-expiring promo codes. They continue to work week after week, so you can give them to your friends, people that you know. Again, receive significant savings on these. And again, enter the promo code when you check out or click on the link right on the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And of course, we want to thank all of you for your ongoing continued support as well. And also the promotion of the codes and linking to them via Facebook, Twitter, and on the social media paths. We thank you so, so much. So let me get you through here a little bit on what's going on. There is about 150, maybe 140 less pounds in the studio in the back and stuff around the floor in here. I have, Chris, I'm flying out to Columbus tomorrow. For those of you that listen to the show on Friday, I'm leaving tomorrow, which is Saturday. It's Thursday for those of you that are live. But fly out to Columbus on Saturday, and I'm taking two suitcases full of microphones, camera gear. I'm just basically taking two big bags of stuff with me on my flight to Columbus. I'm checking three bags. That should be curious. Getting them all through security and dragging them around and getting them. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then I'm doing two carry-ons. So I'm humping a bunch of stuff because I'm taking all the lithium ion batteries. I can't check those in luggage. So I literally have a duffel bag with a laptop that I'm pre-positioning and about, I'm probably 20 individual lithium ion batteries because I need all this stuff starting to get moved that way and high value stuff. So anyway, that's all going to go. Yes, there will be TSA locks on my suitcases. But anyway, so that stuff goes with me on Saturday. And a little light in the load here in the studio. Just a little, not much, for sure. But next week, I will be doing the audio for the show only. No video from our studio in Columbus. So maybe a little different sound next week. So we'll keep you advised on that. And but it'd be, I'll give you guys some pictures of our new studio as well. But we're going to be a Monday and a Wednesday show. Thursday, we're having a team dinner. So again, there's no way I can do a show on Thursday. Then Friday, my board of directors starts a meeting, 2 days worth of meetings for that. So there's no way there's going to be a show Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So next week will be Monday, Wednesday for the show. So that'll just give you a little idea on what the plan is and to keep you all up to date here. So anyway, that wraps up the administrative stuff. I'm still hot. My ears are getting like blown out. I don't know what happened. Didn't change anything back there. I must have bumped something because it's driving me crazy. I'm looking at the levels being recorded and yeah, they're a little different tonight. So something got tweaked. And I was right back in there around the mixer and stuff messing around. So I must have missed hit a knob. So I'm going to live with it. Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking in. Paul, thanks for saying hello. And Nathan as well. Don't you have super fast fiber internet there? No. It's on cable. And the place I'm going to in Michigan, and Paul, it's much worse. So, yeah. What's a video podcaster going to do with crappy internet? It's going to be interesting. And I'm going to tell you what's really, you know, going to save me is definitely Wowza and being able to live stream on Wowza and, you know, push one stream to push the many. So that will be the plan once we get there. But anyway, thanks for everyone for checking in. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Uber. Uber has added a new safety alert following the death of a college student. And I didn't know about this, but there was a murder of a college student who mistakenly entered a vehicle that she believed to be an Uber that she had called for. Now, when a car, here's the thing you have to pay attention to, ladies and even fellas. If you're doing Uber, on the app itself, it gives you the license plates of the vehicle, gives you the person's name. And when they roll up, when the vehicle rolls up, typically they'll roll down the window and they'll say your name. They'll say, Todd. And I'll say, yep. But then I'll walk around. If the license plates on the vehicle isn't, if it's in a state that doesn't have front license plates, I walk around and I look to make sure the license plate matches before I get in the vehicle. I'm not sure what happened to her, but they'll always ask your name. So starting today, the Uber app will send push notifications containing driver details. Again, including license plate number, vehicle type, and color. Now, that's all on the app when you're using it. And an in-app banner will also remind people to confirm they're getting into the correct car. Now, in addition to the in-app notification, which will be made available nationwide in the coming days, Uber is also launching a new campus safety initiative. The company is partnering with the University of South Carolina to create dedicated pickup zones on campuses. The areas will be well lit and have law enforcement officers stationed nearby to ensure safe travel. And Uber is also creating a new tool called Campus Rides that will provide lifts around the University of South Carolina when the other options are not available. So they're planning on to work with other schools across the U.S. to set up other services. And so just be careful out there on these rides. And, you know, if you get to an Uber and a person rolls up and you don't like the look of the person, cancel the ride. Yeah, it's going to cost you $5 for the cancel, but cancel the ride. If you don't feel like that individual is someone you want to get in a car with, you know, cancel the ride. Sometimes our second sense or fifth sense or whatever that is tells us when we're not supposed to be in a vehicle. Now, I've had two rides, both in Las Vegas, where the Uber driver got a lower mark. I had a Uber driver that, both Uber drivers were driving aggressive, very, very aggressive. And I actually mentioned to those two drivers, hey, you're driving a little aggressive. And that typically gets their attention. But I had one guy in this last trip to Vegas who, after I cautioned him, did not let his foot off the pedal. And I got to he was dropping me at the hotel, and he said, was this a 5-star ride? And I said, no, it was not. I said, you were too aggressive and driving too fast, and I asked you to be careful. And you're driving too aggressive. It's not. And he marked me. I had to speak to him. Normally, it's probably not a good idea to, but I wanted to let him know I wasn't comfortable with his driving. And I gave him a 4-star and I made a comment. And I'm sure he marked me down because I know my rating went down a little bit as well. But the other driver I had was in a pickup truck. And he was a little bit aggressive. That was about a year ago, another driver in Vegas. So again, probably out of 100 rides I've done over the course of a couple of years, that two experiences were not acceptable to me. So, you know, don't be afraid to speak up to your driver if they're making you nervous. It's not worth it. It really, really isn't. And some of these drivers are driving too long. You can tell when they're starting to get punchy. But when a guy gets on an expressway and he puts the accelerator all the way down to the firewall and to get moving and is aggressively changing lanes, that's not a vehicle I want to be in, to be honest with you. So anyway, my experience, yours will vary, but this new safety alert will help make sure that you get in the right car and just pay attention to the app. Switching topics here, Amazon Music has launched their free streaming tier through Alexa, only for now. I'm sorry, I just triggered my device and your device. So this, they soft launched its free streaming tier, which for US customers of its Alexa voice will have, and there I did again, access to top Amazon Music playlists and thousands of stations at no cost. The limited access that the new free service provides is only available through Alexa. And when the listener requests a song, it leads to an Amazon playlist or station rather than an album. And it's presumably the first phase of a full ad-supported streaming tier that will launch at some point in the future. So for those that do not have a Prime membership or a subscription to Amazon Music, you're now going to be able to listen to this ad-supported selection of top playlist, okay? And I have some more news a little later in the show about another company that's doing tit for tat. So we'll talk about them in a minute. It's being reported on The Verge that the U.S. facial recognition will cover 97% of departing airline passengers within 4 years. So the Department of Homeland Security says that this facial recognition technology being employed in airports, again, will screen 97% of departing passengers. The system, which involves photographing passengers before they board their flight, first started rolling out in 2017 and was operational at 15 U.S. airports by the end of 2018. It basically works by photographing passengers at their departure gate. It then cross-references this photograph against a library populated with face images from visas and passport applications, as well as those taken by border agents when foreigners enter the country. The aim of the system to offer biometric exit, which gives authorities as good an idea of who's leaving the country, who's entering it, and allows them to identify people who have overstayed their visas. So isn't this interesting here? Now, if you think about this, if someone is here illegally or overstayed a visa and it scans a face, will that start causing detentions? So since the introduction of the current system, which uses only manifest, they've only identified 7,000 passengers who overstayed their visa on 15,000 flights. Oh, since the facial recognition identified, they've identified 7,000 passengers who overstayed their visas on 15,000 flights, so that they estimate that over 600,000 people a year overstay their visas in the United States, which carries a maximum penalty of 10 years ban from entering the U.S. If you ever get flagged for secondary in the United States, it may be because you overstayed your visa once before, or they think that you've come to this country, come to the United States, and maybe worked before. They have some indication. So there's a variety of reasons people get pulled into secondary when you're arriving internationally from the United States. And it's usually going to involve an interview with an immigration agent or two. And typically they'll have something, they'll know something about you and why you're being detained. I don't think they actually call it detainment, but your secondary screening. And I've never been secondary screened in any other country. I'm sure most countries have the same type of procedures. They put you aside and ask questions. I know one time in Japan, they were confused because I had an entry visa, but no exit stamp. And yet I was re-entering the country again, and I had to explain that I'd flown out of a military airplane and no one physically stamped our visa when we left. So that sufficed. But that threw the immigration officer for a little bit of a loop, and he just did a double stamp in my passport and made a note. So what do you think about this facial recognition? It's an interesting move. I don't know why they don't use it for check-in and everything else. Maybe they do. Facebook is being accused, and I guess they've admitted to uploading 1.5 million people's email contacts without consent. So this comes from Business Insider, where Facebook has harvested these email contacts since May of 2016. And they didn't ask permission to do it. The Facebook said they were unintentionally uploaded to Facebook and they're now, quote unquote, deleting them. So a security researcher noted that Facebook was asking some users to enter their email passwords when they signed up for a new account. This was, quote unquote, to verify their identity. Again, this is something that they should never ask, right? Facebook wasn't content with having a new user's email address. It also wanted a password to that user's email address. You think about that. It's asking you for the golden ticket, the golden password to your email account. And it's kind of a moment. Why would they do that? Do any of you remember being asked for your email password when you signed up for Facebook? Not your Facebook password, but your email password. I think that would have set off red bells to me in a big, big way. Huawei is thanking the U.S. for raising 5G awareness by banning telecom kit giant wares. Huawei's top brass took to the stage in Singapore, Shenzhen, this week to insist that everything was fine. And the company's fine and dandy in the company, despite the shrieking from U.S. lawmakers. In front of an audience of 750, Deputy Chairman Ken Hu described 2018 as an eventful year for the company and thanked the assembled media for paying so much attention to the Chinese outfit. So they're doing a little tongue-in-cheek. He says it'll be interesting to see how Hu describes 2019. The U.S. has ramped up the rhetoric by threatening its pals, being other countries, with a withdrawal of security cooperation if they buy hardware from the company, and the UK's Huawei Cybersecurity Evaluation Center gave the company a good kicking over recently with some, basically about their coding practices. On the plus side, he said that Germany has managed to resist the increased shrill demands from the United States. So, I guess if you live in Germany and you're listening to this show, some of your content, some of your data, some of your 5G might be going through Huawei's gear. I still have a big issue with this company personally as well. So, but they're being a little tongue-in-cheek here. And, but hey, if there's a problem, they need to fix it. There's a new iPhone rumor suggesting in 2019, the true depth cameras will support 12 megapixel. And that's a major jump from the current model's 7 megapixel front-facing array. And with everyone taking selfies, the front-facing camera continues to be utilized a lot more. But Apple analyst Ming-Chi Hu, who has a good track record with these type of predictions, has released a new report, again, saying that the iPhone will have a 12 megapixel front-facing camera. If, again, this would be a big jump. So he also reiterates that two of Apple's forthcoming phones, a successor to the iPhone XS and the XS Max, will feature a trio of rear-facing cameras, but has no new details about them. And except that the sensor is going to get bigger. There may be as many as 3 lens. So we'll see about this. And it's way early. This is one of the first predictions we've seen on the forthcoming phone. Sesame Street has invaded Game of Thrones. And they've done a little parody video. I think it's cute. It's titled Sesame Street Respect is Coming. Not Winter is Coming. Respect is Coming. And it brings together Cersei and Tyrone and Elmo to resolve a tense scene. So there's several of these videos. I think you'll get a kick out of them from the Sesame Street crew. At the same time, the HBO folks are not as happy with the president in his Game of Thrones inspired tweets. One of the tweets that the president made was no collusion, no obstruction for the haters and the radical left Democrats. Game over. And it's a picture of like, looks like winter's coming. And then some other things. So anyway, so HBO wasn't really happy about him theming his tweets and using an image that kind of looked like Game of Thrones. So it is what it is. The White House will not share data on whether it interfered in the AT&T merger review. The late 2017 Department of Justice announcement that it would be suing to stop AT&T's $86 billion merger with Time Warner turned more than a few heads. We talked about it on this show. While the DOJ insisted the move was driven entirely by an interest in protecting consumers, the decision was utterly discordant with the Trump administration's often facts-optional assault on the consumer protections that had bipartisan support. Ranging from net neutrality to basic environmental protections. Of course, the DOJ's sudden concern about the impact of media consolidation was in stark contrast to Trump's FCC, where they were demolishing decades-old media consolidation rules. So, according to executives that they spoke, the theory is that Murdoch privately encouraged Trump to scuttle the deal as a revenge for Time Warner's rejecting Murdoch's $80 billion takeover in 2014. But that is yet to be determined. And I guess they have some Freedom of Information Act requests out and so forth. But, see if there's anything else here. Anyway, a lot of just position on this and, wondering why, there was such a, you know, such a move by the DOJ. But anyway, that's over on Tech Dirt. I'll have a link up in the show notes. You guys can go through the whole article and read the hypothesis of why the White House may have wanted to spike the deal with AT&T and Time Warner. Every once in a while, I see something, I scratch my head a little bit. And today is one of those days. Imagine having an extra $2,800 laying around and you decide to buy an emulator of some of the retro games that are around. You know, there's some emulators, right? But $2,800 for a emulator that basically makes it look like a retro TV. And this is a Swedish artist and craftsman created one that goes the extra mile. The Yesterday Vision contains a 19-inch 4x3 monitor that's designed to have the curvature distortion of an old CRT monitor. Yeah, that's just what we want. It also has a full range of loudspeakers and built-in Raspberry Pi computer that emulates a gaming system like the Super NES, the NES, the Genesis, the Neo Game, the MAME, Atari 2600, the N64, and the PSX. And of course, you can also play modern games, connect with your laptop. But, yeah, for $2,800, I think I'll spend my money more wisely. But for more, those of you that have more money than common sense and are into the retro stuff, this may be exactly what the doctor ordered. In more productive news, the Cygnus spacecraft is heading to space station with 40 mice and some satellites. So this is exciting. A new cargo mission is route to International Space Station. The Northrop Grumman Antares rocket lifted off on Wednesday, delivering the uncrewed Cygnus vessel to space. Although this Cygnus does not have a crew, oh, they do have a crew. They got 41 mice on board. Now, you may be familiar with Antares rocket and Cygnus spacecraft from 2014 that resulted in an explosion when the orbital ATK was an independent company. Now that's part of Northrop Grumman, they've had about, how many launches they've had? Quite a few. Well, they haven't had any major incidents since 2014. So the 40 mice strapped to the rocket made it safe to the International Space Station. And there's some mini satellites and other stuff up there. So they're going to be doing some long-term testing with this particular module. It'll be at the International Space Station for about 90 days. And then they're going to do some science with it and try to do a second launch and try to be able to support two spacecraft in space at the same time. So we continue to have more lift capability be brought to bear to the International Space Station, which is good. Apple is making it easier to recycle iPhones in the United States. It's quadrupling the number of drop-off recycling locations. And with Earth Day just around the corner, Apple announced that this increase in locations is where customers can send their iPhones recycling. And of course, the company's recycling robot, Daisy, can disassemble about 200 phones an hour. And recovered materials are recycled back into the manufacturing process, and Apple sends iPhone batteries Daisy removes to select manufacturing sites, and the cobalt is recovered, combined with scrap, and used to make new batteries. And that's creating a closed loop, and it could address some of the supply and ethical concerns around key battery materials. And beginning this year, Apple will start recovering the aluminum and remelt it into its MacBook Air enclosures. Already recycled aluminum is in the MacBook Air and MacBook Mini, and which is almost half the carbon footprint of those devices. So I've got all my old iPhones in a box, and I'm going to make some sort of display out of them. I may be missing one or two. I'm sure I'll pay a premium to go out and find. I don't care if it's a dead phone, but I'm going to build some sort of display if I get some time. That's a project. And to show the progression of where we've come or where we've been and where we you know, where we are and potentially where we're going. So I have all my phones. Nothing has been turned in. Amazon, well, we talked about the Amazon free music, but Google announces an official YouTube app to launch on the Fire TV. So this is pretty exciting. So there's been a little bit of a spat with Amazon over the YouTube app, but the two companies will launch the official YouTube app on Amazon Fire TV and Fire TV Edition smart TVs as well. So this has been a long time coming. So we'll see that at some point here in the near future. Netflix, they're going to invest up to $100 million in a New York City production hub, and quote unquote, they're going where the talent is. So Netflix films many of its productions in New York. So it only makes sense to have a large presence there. So they're going to expand its office in the Manhattan Flatiron District. Did I just pronounce that wrong? Flatiron District. It's to create hundreds of jobs, including 127 executive marketing and production development roles, and should foster about $100 million in investment, according to Governor Cuomo. The sound stages will also have the capacity for thousands of jobs, although that's likely to vary based on what's in production at any given time. The state is offering Amazon and Netflix up to $4 million in tax credits over 10 years. All those are contingent on Netflix's ability to create both the 127 promised office jobs and keep the 32 existing positions. So Netflix continues to grow. Facebook, for those of you that live in the UK, Facebook has banned 12 dangerous British far-right groups and individuals. So I'm not familiar with any of these groups, and maybe some of our UK listeners can help us. So in total, 12 people and groups were outlawed by the social network, including the British National Party, BNP, and its president, Nick Griffin, Britain First, the English Defense League, Knights Templar International, and the National Front. Co-founder of the English Defense League, Tommy Robinson, is already banned under the same policy. So Facebook is saying those are organizations and individuals who have spread hate or attack or call for the exclusion of others on the basis of who they are. So can anyone in the UK, I don't know any of these groups, give us kind of a rundown of why and what is driving, you know, are they really that crazy? I'd really love to hear from someone that has some insider information on that. Not really familiar with any of these groups. in the UK at all. So I'd love to get a local jive on this. So drop me a note, geeknews@gmail.com, if you will. Apple's keyboard, the butterfly keyboard, is in the news a lot. And the PC World folks says, here's how to fix Apple's butterfly keyboard problem, quote unquote, buy a PC. So if you finally had enough of your Apple butterfly keyboard problem, they are listing five PCs that can replace your MacBook. It starts out with the HP Spectre X360, the Dell XPS 13, which is, in my opinion, a winner, the Microsoft Surface Laptop 2, the Microsoft Surface Pro 6, and the Huawei MateBook X Pro. So there's a few laptops, Windows laptops, that may get you out of this quandary that you may be in. And then the folks at theoutline.com is basically saying that Apple owes everyone an apology, and it should start with the author of the article specifically. So it's, again, a big slam on the butterfly keyboard design, and talks about a 2017 MacBook Pro that had to be returned and went through the process of having the keyboard replaced because of this issue. And it just goes on and on and on with everyone that's complained, really from real big outspoken folks in the tech space to just individual users that continue to have problem with this keyboard. And, you know, there's something I keep telling my son, like this morning, they were getting, my wife and son left for Osaka. They're going to go to the cherry blossoms. It's a little bit late. And I think they're staying in Kyoto. So he was, came and asked me if he could take his laptop with him. And I was like, why? You're not taking your camera. And he said, I've got a video to edit. And I'm like, okay. So I said, by the way, bring your laptop in here. And I brought it in and I took a look at it. And I said, you know, you got to keep that keyboard clean. And I saw a little bit of dirt on it. I said, you know, this is a big issue with this. And as a reminder, once again, to keep the keyboard clean, I keep a cloth here, and I wipe my keyboard down quite often and use air as well to blow off the keyboard. And I close the lid whenever I'm not using it for a few hours. So if you have them, you shouldn't have to worry about that. I've got a keyboard sitting here from my, it's a gamer keyboard that I've got hooked to my iMac Pro. And, this thing is, it's awesome. It's no issue with the keyboard, but the laptop's a whole different issue. So anyway, two articles on that. Next up, there's 12 movies to celebrate Easter, Passover, and the rebirth of spring. So Tech Hive is making some suggestions. Everything from Cool Hand Luke to Easter Parade to The Gospel According to St. Matthew. Variety of classics here. The Last Temptation of Christ. Life of Brian. So a variety of stuff here that is being recommended by the folks from Tech Hive for the celebrate Easter and Passover. So I have the link up in the show notes for you on that. Extreme Tech is reporting that an alien meteorite may have burned up in the atmosphere in 2014. So, of course, we talked about the Oumuamua, the very big one that passed by us in 2017. But scientists don't think it was the first. They think that we were hit with an alien meteorite or comet. Wasn't a comet. Yeah, I guess it was a comet or a small asteroid comet in 2014 that may have burned up over the Pacific Ocean. But anyway, it goes into that. They've got some pictures of the one that happened in 2014 and the reasons behind how they think this may have actually been one from beyond our solar system. So I don't know how the scientists figured this out, to be honest with you. But kind of a cool read. Any of you using BlackBerry Messenger? Well, it's going to shut down in May. The consumer version of the app is closing its digital doors. MTech, the company BlackBerry partnered with in 2016 to run the consumer version of the messaging app, on Thursday said the technology industry is very fluid, and despite substantial efforts, users have moved on to other platforms. You think? So anyway, BlackBerry Messenger to shut down in May of 2016. Now, I talked about earlier in the show how Amazon had offered their free music through Alexa. Well, guess what? YouTube is now providing free music on Google Home speakers. So listening to music on your Google Home speaker right out of the box seems to be good to be true. Starting today, YouTube Music is offering a free ad-supported experience from Google Home Speaker. If you need a groove to get you ready for a night out, you say, hey, G-O-O-G-L-E. I think I have an extra O in there. Play Latin Vibes. And it'll do that. So, second offer of free music via YouTube Music. So, the game continues to heat up in the music business. I talked about the iPhones being recycled. The folks at CNET have a great article about their secret of lab where they do all this recycling and tear down phones. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on that. Today, Pinterest did their initial public offering, and they introduced the stock on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker PINS, debuting at $23.75, up 25% from its IPO. And of course, the social media company is popular with moms, according to its IPO prospects. And the stock follows Lyft and PagerDuty and debuts on the same day as Zoom and a wave of tech IPOs. So the bump pushed Pinterest market cap above $12 billion after it was initially priced at $19 per share. So the stock again climbed to 28.4%. And so now the market cap is sitting at a cool $13 billion. Congratulations to those of you that held a little Pinterest stock. A new service that I found today is very interesting. Now, my new roof is on. It's finished. The contract I got home from being out running some errands, the contractor was just wrapping up. And we went up on the roof and I walked through and he showed me all the stuff that they'd done. And we've even got now some ventilation going from our crawl space, and everything looks beautiful. Roof is fantastic. I'm very, very pleased with the outcome. And I got some little handyman stuff here that I need done that I just haven't been able to find handyman. So I had Tony about this before. I said, please, if you've got some time, I want to get this taken care of, because I've got a support beam that's sitting on top of a metal structure that's rusting away and needs to be changed out. But anyway, it's just irritating me that I have a very hard time finding handymen that I can just pay to do some jobs. Well, homeowners spend of upwards of $300 billion annually on home repairs and maintenance. It's a huge sum that often comes with another more hidden cost, the stress of finding reliable tradespeople, managing those jobs, and in a worst case scenario, picking up the pieces if things go wrong. I'm very excited. There's a new startup called Super, and they built what it believes a fix for that problem, a subscription service for maintenance and repair services for your property. Today, it's announcing a Series B of $20 million to continue scaling the business across the United States after growing its business 400% each year for the past 2 years. So I didn't even hear about this. And basically, you pay them in tiers, $20, $60, or $90 per month. And then they come through and service appliances. They do some insurance on some stuff that you've got in your house. They've got ability to have someone come and do some repairs. It's all part of the subscription service. And to me, I'm like, we're keeping the house. Shoko's staying here. My daughter And I got a story about my daughter. I don't think I've told you guys yet. I'll do that on the next show. So anyway, long story short, keeping the house, I'm not going to be here all the time, but no one's, and I'm not that handy to begin with. So I thought, wow, this might be a way to have someone we call on demand to come in and do some stuff that I would normally do, in my limited capacity to fix stuff. So, very, very excited about this company called Super. And it's hello, H-E-L-L-O, super.com. So I'll try to find more information about this, see if it's available here in Hawaii. But they've got a very wide range of investors. But anyway, so this might be a way to take care of things and have basically someone on call. And I'll have to look into what the limitations are and blah, blah, blah. But hellosuper.com. So if anybody's used this, I would really like to know about it for sure. All right, kind of a short show tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And I don't think we've had any emails come in. Let me look here. Bada bing, bada boom. No new emails. So I didn't trigger anybody on the last show. That's okay. And I'm triggered myself tonight because I'm blowing my eardrums out. And of course, we had some people live watch us tonight. Thanks for the folks that checked in live. I definitely appreciate that. So everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here of listeners. And I'll be back with you on Monday and from Columbus, Ohio, audio only next week from our studios there. And I'll talk about our studio. And if I'll remember correctly, I will share with you some drama that has occurred here in the Cochran household. my wife listened to this show. She's probably going to shoot me when I share this information. But we're all about full disclosure here, right? So, yeah, exciting tidbits to come. Nothing terrible, but it's been an interesting couple of weeks. So everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.